Merry Christmas. And while these guys are walking off the stage, would you give them a round of applause? I'm always so thankful for them. They do such a great job always, but on Christmas, many of these guys are volunteers away from their family, and so we want to be thankful for how well they're serving us. This year is the 10th anniversary of our family's favorite tradition around Christmas time. We've been doing it for 10 years, and we absolutely love it. And here's the tradition. The day that we set up our tree, we go get a Christmas tree, and we set up a camera, and while we're setting up the whole tree, we film it, and then we time-lapse it and put it to a song, and now we have a video. And for some reason, it's also important that we eat pizza in the midst of this. That's just our tradition. And so for 10 years, we now have, the first one we ever did, my son was in a high chair, his first year, his first Christmas. And so it's kind of like the story of our family as we've grown, the different houses, the different ages. It's such a fun tradition that we've had. And this year, it's our 10 years, so we always set, the night it's going to happen. I need you to know, this year it was a bust. It was a horrible experience. And so I want to kind of tell you the story of how it went down this year. Even when we should be good at this, it's not. It didn't go well this year. But so here's what happens is that we let our kids decide because we've gotten our trees from several different places. So we let our kids decide, where do you want to go? So the first place we show up, we walk in and there's 4 trees left and they're all garbage. Like, are you kidding me? So then, and like, oh, it's like, we got to figure this out. We Google it on our phones in the midst of it. We go to another place and they have a bunch of trees. They're still on the farm, but they're all like this tall. We're like, that's not us. So we left. So now we're at our third place. And we found some friends there that we didn't really know, but there's a lot of connections, had some great conversation. We finally found the tree. Here it is. This is our family. Third place. We finally got our tree. Okay, so then we're on our way home, and since pizza is very important, I call the pizza place. And since we live in Iowa, who did I call for pizza? Isn't that ridiculous that we all know that? So I call, and I have our pizza ordered, sausage for our kids, and my wife and I is supreme. And this is a very important piece for me. I say, no olives. And they have confused olives with onions before, so I say, no black olives. And some of you are like, well, Brent, why don't you like black olives? It's because it's the devil's candy, and I ain't having any of it. It's bad. So I ain't having black olives. I made the statement, it's very important that you do not have black olives on this pizza. He's like, fine. So we get home. And when we get home, it's like we got time to get the tree in before we go get our pizza. So we go in and we get the tree. Put it on my shoulder. We take it in. And here's the tree. Now, here's what I need you to see. That tree is not straight up and down because it's too tall. So in the midst of that, bad news, no joy in this situation. I'm really pleasant and happy about it. So I take the tree back out, put it on the bed of the truck and get a chainsaw out. And now I'm chainsawing the tree, and we finally get it back inside, and it gets stood up. And in the midst of this time, that's happened, and I now go get our pizza. I'm starving at this point. So we go grab the pizza, come back to our house, and we set the pizza in. Everyone's super hungry. It's waited too late. I open the box, and guess what's on that pizza? Black olives. Bad news, no joy. And so I was like, here's what you know, I'm a Christian and I have convictions, and since it's the devil's candy, I'm not eating these olives. So I call Cases and say, we got a problem. They say, we'll get it fixed, and it's just right down the road from us. So my wife and I are starving, but we let the kids eat. We go get it. We eat our food. And so finally, it's like, what else could go wrong? The tree place, the tree's too tall, the pizza's gone bad. And so then some other stuff happened, and our family got into a heated discussion. Has anybody else's family ever got to that? Like, it was not a fun one. It wasn't like we were laughing and being silly. It was like, oh boy, tonight's ruined. Like, bad news, no joy. But we kind of recovered, okay? We get back to going, and the way we do is we always set a computer that captures all the stuff. But here's what you know, in the midst of that, it crashed 2 different times. And that was really sad for us because we've got history of our family for 10 years doing this, and we lost 2 different times 30 minutes of footage. Like, are you kidding me? Bad news, no joy. So I go and I grab my phone. I was like, fine, let's just put our phone up there. I put my phone up, I hit it, and we get back to work, and it seems like all is right in the world. We're all having fun. You can kind of see our family in our living room doing everything. And then I'm kind of working, and next picture is you see me working. I'm kind of focused, but something catches movement out of the corner of my eye. And look at the next picture, because the next picture is going to show you that the Christmas tree moved. Did you see that? And since it's going to follow the way everything else has happened that night, the next screen is going to show you what happens. Now, what you can't see, if we could have a little higher resolution, my mouth is wide open because in the video I go, ah, and I grab this. And the next picture, you can see my wife, if you could see closer in her face, the fear of the Lord is in her. She feels like someone's about to get her. Her face is like, I'm gonna die. So then the next, but look real quick. Our kids now freak out. Yeah, so our kids are fine at this point. Next picture, our kids catch it. Like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And then because we're moms and dads and we're superheroes, we stand that thing back up. And at this point, it's like, in not so nice voice, what did you do? I was like, I didn't do anything. It just fell over. You kidding me? And so then, in the midst of it, ornaments have fallen off. There's glass all over the floor. We send the kids down out. And then the next thing you knew, I got to go get the vacuum cleaner. And I've picked up all the glass, and now I'm trying to get all the glass off the ground. And here's what's funny. Just look at my wife. There's just despair on her. Her head, like, what could go wrong? What more? So then, vacuum's put away, but it leans over, it's so tall, I guess our base isn't big enough, I don't know what the problem is. I actually have to go to the garage, get a skill saw out, that's now number two power tool I've had to use for this dumb Christmas tree, and we slide some a piece of wood on there to shim it up to make it level, and then we finally get it. But I mean, this whole night was bad. It was bad. And here's our family acting like it's all good, but here's the thing. It was bad news, no joy, almost all night. I literally went to bed going, are you kidding me? And what's interesting is we all kind of have this idealized look at scripture, our Christmas. You saw our picture. Oh, it looks like everything's great. Some of you may have seen that picture on Facebook or that video. It looks all great, but it was a bad night. And what's interesting is Christmas, we often have these idealized views of what it should look like. We have this idea of like, we have to have every present exactly right. Dinner has to be set up just like this. We have in our mind what Christmas should be like. We have these idealistic views. What's interesting is most of our lives still has this bad news, no joy. And I'm gonna read the original Christmas story. And I think that what you're gonna see is that just like our stories aren't perfect, our Christmas trees are falling in the exact same way the first Christmas story enters in just like this. So we're gonna read Luke 2. You've heard this probably 100 times if you've been around church, but I think it's gonna be refreshing to your soul if you'll dial in just here for a few minutes. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And we're not really hip with all the people and the history of the time, but this is already bad news, no joy situation. For the people of Israel, they're being ruled by Rome. Caesar in Rome is their king now. And it's not a happy, excited thing. They're ruling over the Israelites, and they're not happy about it. Bad news, no joy. And not only that, they have to go to their own ancestral hometowns to be registered because Quirinius is making this happen. It's just not a good situation. And then you keep going in verse 4 and keep reading and see what happens. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And so, in the midst of this story, we see just more bad news and no joy. Joseph had to travel to Bethlehem because of where his ancestral hometown was. That's a 90-mile journey. And for us, we just get in the Suburban and the minivan and whatever, and we just go down the road. 90 miles is no big deal. But over the Judean hillside, this would have been horrible. It'd probably been about a good pace of probably a 10-day journey. And this was not good. And that all had to be done while Mary was very pregnant. Pregnant enough that the moment happened that she had the baby there. And I'm just not going to say anything because I'll probably get in trouble, but it probably wouldn't have been fun to travel with that pregnant lady at that point, right? Because it's bad news. It's no joy. And more than that, they were engaged but not married. Can you imagine the traveling bands that they were in? Everyone was traveling. And in that time, the amount of shame, it wouldn't have been shamed. It would have been way more gravity to their situation. And so they're having to walk and say, yeah, we're engaged and she's pregnant. And so they would have either received scorn or they would have had to tell their story and go, oh, it's actually not mine. It's the Holy Spirit conceived her. And people would have thought they're crazy. But either way, they're on this traveling road and it's bad news, no joy. And even more, when they get there, she's a first-time mother. She has no clue what she's doing. Historians would have said that most likely she would have probably been of a 14 or 15-year-old girl who would have been engaged at that period, in that time of history. She has no mom around her, most likely. Never had a child, knows no clue what she's doing, away from her family. Bad news, no joy. And to even make it worse, there was not even a place for them to stay because of all the census. There wasn't even a place to stay. She had to have her firstborn child. And moms who are so protective of their kids, can you imagine taking your newborn baby and laying it in a feeding trough? Bad news, no joy. Verse 8, we keep picking it up. And in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. It seems like this is even hard for them. There's bad news. They're scared to death. They're terrified. It's not like, ooh, what's happening? They're terrified. More bad news. No joy. And then verse 10, we get a big but. It's a contrast in this story. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you who is the Messiah, the Lord. In the midst of a story that just, I mean, if we would have been reading this back in the day, had it not known, you hadn't been to church, you'd never heard about this Jesus, you're like, that was a horrible story. Those people had, I mean, that was horrible. But in the midst of this horrible story, the angels say, I've got good news of great joy. And here's what the good news is. The good news is that there's a Savior for all people. It's not just Mary and Joseph. For some reason, Mary and Joseph were chosen. The angel spoke to them like, well, man, they were just special. They were selected by God. So maybe that salvation is just for them. But it's not just for them. It's for the shepherds. These are nobodies. These are farmers. They're blue-collar people. Nobody knew who they were. They're just out in the middle of the field in the middle of the night. It's just a normal evening when all this goes down. They're not normal people. This Savior, this good news of great joy is for all people. It's not just for them. It's also for us. And a Savior was born for you. I love that phrase. It's so simple. It's just a simple phrase. A Savior was born for you. In the midst of the darkness, we talked about even this past Sunday. What incredible news. In the midst of Mary and Joseph's not so good birth plan happening, a Savior is born for you. And we could spend some time this evening and I could come back and say, look at the beautiful prophecy that this Savior would be for all people 18 centuries before time when he made the prophecy through the covenant with Abraham that says, Abraham, you're going to be a blessing to all people. And we can trace Jesus all the way through that lineage. 18 centuries before, this promise is now finally coming true. We could talk about that. Or we could talk about the prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 prophesies this 700 years before. And can you imagine the sovereignty, the beautiful sovereign hand of God that Micah, 7 centuries before, prophesies this. And in the midst, he leads an evil governor called Quirinius through Caesar Augustus to call the order so that they were there right at the very moment that Mary goes into labor. Can you imagine? We could talk about how beautiful this story is under God's sovereign hand. This morning, I want to focus. It's an evening, sorry. I want to focus on a phrase that I believe we should center our lives around. And this is the phrase. It's so simple. Don't miss it. Don't miss it, guys. A Savior was born for you. A Savior was born for you. Life is not perfect. There's lots of bad news, no joy in our lives, but a Savior is born for you. So this Christmas, even if Christmas goes off without a hitch, you get what you want. All the place settings are perfect. The desserts are perfect. Nothing's too burnt or too undone. And everyone loves dinner. I don't know why moms feel like everything they cook at Christmas is broken, but it's awesome. We love you. Thank you for doing it. If you get through Christmas and there's no political fights, if you get through Christmas and you finally get to rest and you get some time off for work and everything is perfect, here's what you need to know. Eventually, there's going to be bad news and no joy in your life. Eventually, things are going to fall apart because that's just what life does. And you need a Savior to walk with you through those moments. Next semester, as schedules get busy, as life cranks back up, as spring sports start, as vacations, life just gets out of control. And there's always moments of bad news and no joy. And the circumstances of our lives, sometimes they'll just end with that. It's bad news and no joy. But even more than circumstances, our souls, they're affected by the sin in our lives. And we try really hard for a little things. I'm not going to be bad. I'm just going to, figure out my life. New Year's is coming, and I know I got to quit a lot of stuff and start a lot of stuff, and I'm going to figure it out this year, and I'm going to get it on top of my thing. And so my soul, I know that, I'm going to figure it out this year. And you know, bad news and no joy is coming, right? You're going to blow it. And sometimes it's sin we're struggling with, and you're in a fight with Jesus. You're in a fight saying, I'm gonna struggle against this sin because I don't want it to win, and I'm working with the Lord on this. And other times it's just sin that we say, I'm just gonna enjoy it and I don't care. But in the midst of that, we need a Savior. So this morning, this evening, I wanna kind of lift your eyes a little bit and remind you of something way greater. Here's the thing. I don't know the condition of your circumstances this evening. I don't know if this is the loneliest Christmas, the busiest Christmas, the happiest Christmas. I don't know if business is great, horrible, relationships are perfect, or really on edge. I have no clue your circumstances, but here's what I need you to know. The Christmas tree will fall in that. You're just going to be working. You're going to be going around in your life. It's going to seem like everything's great. And Christmas trees are going to fall. And in the midst of that, you need a Savior. And our text tells this evening, a Savior was born for you. And even way more important than that, I don't know the condition of your soul. I don't. I know many of you, talked with many of you, laughed with many of you, prayed with many of you, but I don't know all of you. And I don't know where you stand before the Lord, but can I tell you what the scripture says? It says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For some reason, we try to manage our sin. And we're like, we're going to keep it up, just like we try to keep the Christmas trip. We're going to keep it up, and I'm going to fix it. And it's a little wobbly. I was a little wobbly this year because work was tough, and so I was really rude to my kids. I'm going to fix this. I know that I've been looking at stuff I shouldn't. I'm going to fix it up, and I'm going to hold it up. But here's what the scripture says. We've all sinned and fallen. The Christmas tree of your sin will fall. And I don't want you to walk away from this room tonight without hearing good news of great joy. And here it is. A Savior was born for you. And so many of you, you know that. Maybe you've been really busy. Maybe it's been a few years since you gave priority to that reality. Or maybe you're walking with Jesus, you're like, Brent, that's the only thing that's sustaining me. And if you're a believer in this room tonight, may it be that you would remember, it's so simple, so don't miss it. A Savior was born for you. And for others in this room, it's been a long season for you, and you have been trying to hold up the Christmas tree of your sin, and it's just so teetering, and you know, I cannot fix that. There's nothing I can do to fix it, to keep it held up. And the scripture says that he came and he was born on earth and he lived a sinless, perfect life. And for you and for me, he went to the cross and took on the weight of all of our sin. It killed him. But 3 days later, because he's God, he overcame the power of that sin. And if we would put our faith and trust in him, he would make us a new creation and save us. Look, I'm no statistician, but I guarantee you, in this room this size, there's some of you that have never even thought about orienting your life around the reality that a Savior was born for you. And I just would think we wouldn't be doing Christmas right if we didn't give you that good news of great joy. So my question for you is, what are you organizing your life around? You organizing your life and just trying to fix the bad news and great joy, or are you walking into the good news with great joy and orienting your life around a Savior was born for you? Would you bow your head? God, we come this evening. And if we're honest, there's all kinds of Christmas trees in our lives that are falling down. And it's funny, but man, is it frustrating. And what a joy, God, that just in the circumstances of our lives, we don't have to walk alone, that you're a Savior that is God with us, and you'll walk with us through those seasons and of circumstances. But even more important tonight, you've seen the condition of our soul, that we've all sinned and fallen short. We've all fallen in our sin. And we can't keep the Christmas tree of our lives up. Our sin just keeps it falling. So you know how I've been praying very specifically, that for those who know you would tonight stand in awe that you've saved them and that a Savior was born for them. And for those in this room, or maybe even weirder, maybe even never been told that their sin separated them from God, would you cause them tonight to quit trying to hold up their lives and simply bow their knees to what a simple phrase, a Savior was born for you. Amen. Would you stand and worship with us?